I don't know why they gave us so much dense material in one reading to work on when we only have a few minutes. But we'll do what we can. I was busy. I didn't hear whether they told about the conversion of St. Justin or not. He was a philosopher. He was from Samaria, Greek speaking. And he tried a lot of the philosophies. He was seeking, you see. And then he met this old man who began to talk to him about the prophets. And his heart started to really come alive on fire. And that began his philosophical career as a Christian. All his life, he wore the pallium of a philosopher. And as I was reflecting on this, I thought, we're in the same kind of a mess that pagan Rome was in. And we need people out on the streets, literally on the streets. St. Justin taught on the streets. Philosophers didn't hide in universities and get a huge salary for doing whatever they do or don't do. You taught your stuff on the streets, and if people believed you and liked you, they paid you. But it was not, you know, that you got a chair at Harvard or something, you know. So this great intellect, he belongs to that early group of people who are called the apologists. After them come the fathers. And so he's one of these early people giving an intellectual expression to the mystery of the gospel. And we have some of his works, especially his dialogue with Trypho. Trypho is, I think, an imaginary Jew. And he's having this dialogue with him. And I'm thinking, I wonder if there's enough people around to be interested in using their minds. Or have we so flattened ourselves out with television and so forth that if a guy started talking like this someplace, would anybody listen? Or is it too late? But we do need philosophy on the streets, giving people a sense of what life is all about. Now, he paid for it with his life, as you just heard, because he was a Christian. But he's one of those early great ones, you know. We're getting close to ending Mark. We're in chapter 11. And again, here, we're getting close to the end of 1 Peter. And so he's saying, you know, the end of all things is at hand. It's always at hand. And for us, it's very much at hand. In a few years, we'll all be dead. So he's saying, so do something about it. Be serious and sober-minded. Why? So that you will be able to pray. Now take that and apply it to the television culture. The impact of those images, the plots, and it's all immoral. And you turn that off and go pray? You're crazy. You won't pray. Your whole spirit has been pulled apart and scattered and filled with dirt. You can tell I don't like the TV. Ball games and stuff like that once in a while. I mean, it's nice that it's around. But what's fed over that television will destroy your mind. And if Justin were around, he'd agree with me. Now, you've got in the Gospel Mark's mysterious account of this cleansing of the temple. Our Lord saw the temple and he left, went over to Bethany, which means they just walked over the hill, the Mount of Olives. You leave the temple and you walk down through the Kidron Valley, up the other side of the Mount of Olives, take a right, go down the other side, and right there is Bethany. So it's not even a mile walk. I used to do it a lot, take that walk. It was a privilege. Only in Mark do we have this about the fig tree and that mysterious, you see, he cursed it, but it wasn't the time for figs. Now, you could pray about this all day, trying to figure out what's going on here. Certainly one thing is going on. Our Lord is making a symbolic gesture and warning Jerusalem. I've come to find fruit in this city, and all I find is corruption. Because very soon, he's going to start predicting the destruction of Jerusalem. A destruction that lasts to this day. You go to the temple, it's not a temple, it's a mosque. This prediction could remind you, you go there and take a look at that mosque. It was a nice job. Mostly Byzantine Christian artists put it together, but they were being paid well, so they didn't care. And look at it and say, this was the temple. And be warned. Be warned. The Lord is looking for fruit. And so, you see, hey, Rabbi, look, the fig tree's cursed. What does he say? Have faith in God. I tell you, and he tells this, especially in Mark, he does this. Another time when he tells them all about forgiving and helping one another, and their response is, Lord, increase our faith. We don't have enough faith to have that kind of a vision to be living that way. Here he says, if you tell this mountain to get up and go into the sea, it'll go. That's what's called, that's faith, obviously. But it's miracle faith. It's knowing what God wants to do and declaring it. It happens sometimes, as you know, when there's people being prayed with for healing and somebody knows you're healed. That's that kind of faith. It's a word of knowledge and so forth. But then he said, well, yeah, oh man, I want that. I want to have that kind of faith. I want to be able to do those miracles. He says, okay, fine. Here are the last lines of the gospel today. When you stand to pray, you want to have faith. You want to move mountains. You want to preach like Justin. You want to, okay, fine. Forgive anyone against whom you have a grievance. Otherwise, forget about praying. So that your heavenly Father may in turn forgive you. It's just good business. Forgive, and you're forgiven. Now stand there and pray. Your heart is pure. The Father will hear you. And so we go through this thing about cleansing the temple and cursing the fig tree, and it comes down to forgive. So that this temple of my own heart is pure and not filled with a lot of other things. So we'll stop now, but you see what I do think, as I was thinking about Justin, the world right now in this country is as immoral, overfed, and confused as Rome. What happened to Rome? Now, where are the Justins standing in the street or even at the universities, for heaven's sakes, and teaching the truth? Look at the way our minds are being destroyed so that we can't even put two thoughts together. And that is the entertainment industry, if that's what you, I don't see how that's entertaining. But that's our challenge right now. And that's why to take care of the young and teach them is such an awesome responsibility.